3 weeks ago, it's been that long ago that we met, and we were talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to continue that tonight. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, as listed in 1 Corinthians 12, there are 9 of them. And we said that we can divide these 9 into 3 different groupings. The first one would be the revelation gifts. That would include the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the discerning or distinguishing between spirits, and these gifts reveal something. The second grouping would be the power gifts, which include the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, the gift of faith, and this second grouping do something. The last one, the last grouping would be tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. That is the utterance gifts, the verbal gifts, and they say something, all right? So if you're in 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to jump into verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all the gifts in all His people. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of how many people? All. That each one, each person. Do you realize just even talking about the gifts, we can all be blessed by merely talking about the gifts and studying them here in the Bible? Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts, plural, of healings, plural, by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning or distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, as the Spirit wills. All right. So we kind of gave a rundown. Last time we met, 3 weeks ago, we were talking about the gifts, plural, of healings, plural. So let's talk about that some more. Allow me to refresh your memory. We said that, healing comes in one of 3 ways. All right? There's no getting around this. There's no getting. We believe that God is a healer. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, God revealed himself. He formally introduced himself to the Israelites. He said, I am Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals you. He said, I will take sickness and disease out of your midst. He said, follow me and keep my commandments. I am your God. I am your healing God. All right? So because God is a healer, then we have to understand that we would all love the first way that God heals, and that is instantly. We would all love instant healing. Who wouldn't want prayer for healing and your pain, all your discomfort in your physical body be gone immediately? We all would. But that's not always the way it works. Sometimes we go to the second way God heals, and that is gradually. God heals gradually. And sometimes, let me include this, God heals through the agency of medication. All right, I've met people in my faith journey that for one reason or another, they suffer through a lot because they just refuse medication. They refuse to go to a doctor. They refuse for that doctor to prescribe them good medication. I have a friend of mine that I have in mind, and this person suffers through seasonal affective disorder about this time of the year. During winter, when the days are shorter, the sun's not out a lot, and they go through a deep depression. And I've been on this person trying to encourage them, go to your doctor, I do the essential oils, I do all this other. But I said, but honey, it sounds like you need a doctor. Oh, no. Well, I'm thinking about it. Okay, suffer through another winter then. We sometimes suffer needlessly because we are not open to that agency that God can exercise His gifts of healings through medicine. Please understand that this understanding or this knowledge was ingrained in me You know, I went to a university that as you drive into the campus, they had two big praying hands, copper praying hands. One hand represented the miracle working power of God. The second hand represented medicine. And both hands together in the form of prayer said that God heals through his power, but God also heals through medicine. All right, let's look at first. Keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians 12. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5, please. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're going to look at an exhortation that Paul the Apostle, please understand, the guy writing this letter to young Timothy was the man who flowed in great gifts of healings. Verse 23, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Notice, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. What's he saying? Take medicine. In that day, wine, fermented wine, was used medicinally for body illnesses. And obviously, young Timothy had stomach problems. And he said, Paul's recommending him, he said, drink wine medicinally to cure you of whatever's happening with your stomach. And apparently this was a very young, sick man, Timothy, your frequent infirmities. What's he saying? Take your medicine. Take your medicine. There's no shame, church family. It's not a lack of faith to go to the doctor. Can I get a witness in the house? It's not a lack of faith to be prescribed medication. Can I get a witness on that, please? Right? Okay. I'm not saying that every little thing you have to run to the doctor, but when the situation calls for it, let's be sure that we follow that. Okay, so we said God heals instantly, God heals gradually, and then also the third reason, the third way, I don't have any answers. I've had a couple of friends that I've lost to COVID-19 personally that I know, you know, I knew personally. And I thought, man, that's rough. And, you know, I don't know. There were prayer vigils going around for him. I'm not trying to be a defeatist, but church family, we have to embrace the reality that sometimes God will call people home, and in going to heaven, that'll be their ultimate healing. Yoo-hoo. Are we okay with that? Right? That's a part of life on earth. We all must die. Barring the rapture, we're all going to die. We're all going to cash in our chips. You know, we don't get to dictate how we leave this earth. The good Lord does that for us. But we should still believe in healing. Now, with that, there are three other steps that we talked about, and I'm just refreshing. We're just doing some refreshing here, so that we're all on the same page regarding healing. You know, when it comes to gradually, when God uses someone to pray for you, or you pray the prayer of faith yourself, you believe and stand on God's promise. Let me say here, when I was struggling through my deal here a couple weeks ago, for the last couple weeks rather, the symptoms were horrible. Horrible, but never once was I ever afraid. Never once. Because number one, I'm not afraid to meet Jesus face to face. That's my greatest joy. Amen? And number two, you know, I refuse to live in fear. I'm not going to live in fear. I will not live in fear. And so because of that, I was at peace. And yes, the symptoms, I remember one night I could not breathe. I couldn't go back to sleep because every time I tried to doze off, I'd be gasping for air. And I could not breathe well. And it was just a rough night, no sleep. And I just had to chalk it up as a rough night. And, you know, no energy at all. I mean, I had to sleep for hours during the day. One night I slept 12 hours. I cannot remember ever sleeping 12 hours. And then the following day, sleeping several more hours during the day, just to have a small window of energy. And I don't mean energy to exercise. I mean just energy to get up and move around the house. So what am I getting at by saying that? Is that, you know, I still believed in healing. I still claim Jesus as my healer. How many of us know that healing is not only true when we're healthy? Hello. And how many of us know that prayer not only works when the healing is instantaneous, prayer also works when the healing is gradual? You know, Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus said that, or Luke, the gospel writer, said that Jesus taught a parable to his disciples to this end, that people should always pray and not give up. People should always pray and not give up. And so, you know, do we have persistent faith? When we feel pain in our physical bodies, when we feel all these horrible symptoms, do we believe that He is still our healer? Okay, let's go back to the gradual. There are three stages within the gradual healing. When you pray for yourself, or you pray for someone, or someone prays for you, number one, there is impartation. When they lay their hands on your shoulder and they pray the prayer of faith, there is supernatural impartation. You might feel something, you might not feel something. Still, by faith, you have to accept there is impartation. Secondly, there is incubation. We trust that God's power has been imparted to you. How do we know that? Because James chapter 5 says that if anyone is sickly among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint him or her with oil. Let him pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will save or heal the sick. So we believe in that second stage of incubation. Number stage one is impartation. Second stage is incubation. Who's ever had a headache here? Who's ever had to take some medicine for that? As soon as you pop those pills in your mouth and swig them down with water, was the headache gone instantly? No, there had to be an incubation period to let that aspirin or whatever you took, that Tylenol, that ibuprofen, to break down, for your body to break it down and let it begin to have effect on your head. Right? That's what we would call incubation. You have to allow God's power to do its work in your body. And some people say, well, that doesn't sound very supernatural to me. Well, do we believe that God is a healer? Yes. Do we believe that God heals gradually? Yes. Can we just give God all the glory for all kinds of healing, whether medication was involved or not? Amen? Yeah. I mean, he's the one, the source that gave men and women the wisdom to come up with some of these medications. Right? So we have to give him all the glory. Third one is manifestation. So you have your impartation stage, you have your incubation stage, and then finally your manifestation stage when you start feeling better. I remember the Monday, it was a Monday, last Monday, a week, it'll be a week tomorrow, when I begin to feel just a little bit better. And I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. My head isn't like, I would have these horrible, piercing headaches for hours. And all I wanted to do was sleep them off. I could not, oh my goodness, I could not do anything. It was crippling, crippling headaches. Listen, I don't want to talk about my rap sheet of ailments. The last couple of weeks was not fun. But suffice it to say that you know, manifestation comes. It will come. Healing will come. We just have to give it time. Amen? All right. So let's talk a little bit about healing. You know, it is an amazing thing. God gives some people. In fact, let's just look at the scripture, all right? Go with me to verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 12, please. Paul the Apostle is going to ask several questions, to which, in the Greek language, the answer is an emphatic no. Verse 29, are all apostles? The answer is what, church family? No. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. no to every single one of those questions. Notice, but some do have the gifts of healings. I believe, not just because I believe it, I've seen the Lord use me in this particular area in praying for people and watching them either get instantly healed or gradually healed. I've seen that in my life. I've been grocery shopping. This has happened more than once, and I've had people, strangers, I didn't even know them, and they said, you know, can you please pray for me? They knew me as Pastor Joe, so they knew me from somewhere. I didn't know who they were. They said, Pastor Joe, would you please pray for me right now? I have this situation in my life. Right then and there, outside of the grocery store, I would place my hand on their shoulder, and I'd be praying for God to heal them, or, you know, whatever need they had. But people are drawn to the gift of healing, and some people have that gift, the gifts of healings flowing through their lives. Now, let me tell you about a man that was very, very mightily used. He's in heaven now. His name was William Branham, and this man had an amazing, powerful healing. Have you guys heard of William Branham? He was part of that healing revival back in the 50s, 1950s in the 20th century, and he was known worldwide, in fact, to the tune of, he was used mightily in healing rheumatoid arthritis. Sometimes in his meetings, you could hear, before he would even take the stage, he would go backstage where all these people were wheeled in and crippled up with rheumatoid arthritis, and he would pray a prayer without touching anybody, and you would hear bones cracking and popping, pop, 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 pop. What was God doing? God was healing them amazingly. I mean, this man was so famous in his gift of healing that the royal family would charter a plane, fly him to the United Kingdom and have him pray for the royal family when they were sick. That's how mightily God used this man in the gifts of healings. So, you know, there is such a gift. There is such a gift. In fact, I'll say it the way Billy Graham said it in reference to Oral Roberts. He said, Brother Oral, because Oral was used in the gift of in the gifts of healings as well. He said, Brother Oral, I can lead anybody to Christ, and I know you can too. But I just can't pray for everybody and have them be healed with greater results as you can. What was Billy Graham saying to Oral? He was saying, look, I know I'm going to stay in my lane. I know my lane, my main anointing and calling is evangelism. But Oral, your main calling is healing evangelism. And there are people like that. You know, Peter was used mightily in the gifts of healings. In the book of Acts, I want to say it's chapter 5, where Peter said, you know, there were so many people in the crowd that he just walked by him, by all the sick people. And as he walked by the sick people, his mere shadow cast upon the sick people healed them. Now that's power. Not Peter's power. It's not Peter's holiness. He said that in chapter 3 of Acts. He said, don't look at us, and to the man, the lame man at the gate, beautiful. He said, don't look at us as if it was our holiness that healed you. It is faith in the name of Jesus Christ that healed you, is what he said to them. What he said to the man that was lame from birth, laid there at the beautiful gate of the temple. And so there is power in healing. Now, I don't know why we don't see miracles proliferate as we have seen back in like the mighty 50s. They call it the Healing Waters Revival, where all of these, God raised all of these different healing evangelists at the same time. And I'm not talking charlatans, and I'm not talking shamans. I'm talking about people with a legitimate call of God on their lives. Amy Simple McPherson, the founder of Foursquare Church, used mightily in healing. Catherine Kuhlman used mightily in healing. Oral Roberts, William Branham, you had Jack Coe. You had all these men and women that God raised and used powerfully in the gifts of healings. And so we have to honor, listen carefully, church family, we have to honor that gift in operation and believe that if God chooses to use that to heal us, that's great. But if God chooses to just let the medication take its course, then that has got to be great too. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Now, let's go to the next one. The gifts, not the gifts, verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles. Working of miracles. So let's talk about the working of miracles. The working of miracles is precisely that. A miracle, by definition, is a supernatural intervention of God into the affairs, the natural affairs of humankind. A miracle is a supernatural intervention of God into the natural affairs of humankind. Who here would say you have experienced a miracle in your life? Witnessed a miracle? I would say I've witnessed a miracle. Amen. How many of y'all would say you're a miracle? We were talking this morning about busting How Wide Open, you know, and now you're loving God and you love reaching out to people and you love smiling and showing them the love of Jesus and, you know, trying to be a positive influence on others. And, you know, whereas before you couldn't care less about what God thought, and now here you are worshiping Him. That's a miracle. That's a new birth miracle. Now, I believe that miracles are always coming or going. I don't believe that, as some people believe, that the age of miracles has passed away. I do not believe that. I do not believe that miracles was just merely a time frame by which God decided to show up and show out to people, to His people, and then decided to shut it down and say, well, I've given you the Bible, so be happy with just the Bible. I don't believe that, because God has always been and forever will be a God of miracles. Frank Sinatra has sung his last note. Michael Jordan has shot his last three-point shot. But Jesus will never end or cease to be a miracle worker. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe in forever miracles. I want to go to heaven and I want to see videotape or whatever they have up there of the splitting of the Red Sea. Who would like to see that? I would love to see Satan kicked out of heaven. I'd love that. I want to see Michael the Archangel grab him by the nape of his neck and throw him out the back door of heaven to planet Earth. Right, Gene? God is a God of miracles. Now, let me share here. I don't think I've ever shared this story with you guys, and it's very dear to me. It's very near to me, because God performed an amazing miracle. You know, we had been in Kansas for 8 years, and we didn't want to move. We really didn't want to move, but you know, a certain events happened, and there was a potential church split over the introducing of blended worship, and I saw up close a worship war and how ugly those can get. And, you know, I don't know how long I had been in ministry. I think I had been in ministry at that time for about 10 years, and I was already ready to call it quits for ministry, because I saw how ugly God's people can get when they let the enemy set a foothold in the fellowship over a mere style of worship, clavinova over organ. And wow, brutal. But, you know, I felt during that time a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting. I had lost a lot of weight. Wow, I ought to write a book about some of this stuff. But anyway, I felt the peace of the Lord to begin to explore other churches and to begin the process of maybe in our hearts emotionally closing ourselves down, beginning to close ourselves down to where we were at that time in Kansas. And, you know, we were very planted in Kansas. We loved it there. We loved the church. God was doing some really cool things and such. But we really did feel like the Lord was calling us out. And I don't know why I always thought God would lead us to Illinois. I've never been here before. I had never lived in Illinois before. I was raised in the Southwest. So we moved to Illinois, and there was a church in Effingham that was looking for a pastor. We hit it off. It was a great match. And so we moved to Effingham, and when we moved, understand that the girls had already had their physical the year before, my three daughters, to go to school. But because it was the state of Illinois, they required their own physical. So I remember looking back at the old photos, my oldest daughter was so hunched over with scoliosis. We were not aware of this. We just thought that's the way she was. But if you look at old photos, she was like this. And in her physical, they took an x-ray of her back and she had a letter S. It was very pronounced. And I remember we brought it up for prayer at our church, and there were some men that knew people that worked at the Children's Hospital in St. Louis. In fact, they have, listen carefully, in St. Louis, a 90-mile drive, they have the world's best surgeon on correcting scoliosis. The world's best surgeon. And because it was a children's hospital, they charged us this much. My daughter had to go through a 10-hour surgery to have her spine corrected. Now, if you were to see my oldest daughter, she has the most perfect posture. I bet you could put a book on her head or a glass of milk on her head and she will not spill it as she walks. She's got a beautiful posture, but back then she was so hunched over. Now, what are the odds that God would relocate us from Kansas to a place 90 miles away from the world's best doctor on correcting scoliosis and not charge us a dime? Let me ask you, is that a miracle? That's a miracle. It's a very personal miracle. Every time I see my daughter, I'm almost in tears because I remember what she used to look like with that scoliosis. Now, the two younger ones had to wear body braces to correct their scoliosis was not as pronounced. But those little body braces, we had to keep them in them for about 8 hours a day, and they hated it. But we're like, we want you to have a decent posture. And so, anyways, long story short, God did a great miracle there. It was confirmation that we were, in fact, supposed to be in Illinois. We weren't just running away from a church that was intent on going at each other's throats over worship. Anyway, I remember a friend, my best friend Burke, and I. He obviously contributed to the Pastor Appreciation 30-year celebration of ministry. And he and I went out to eat in Minnesota. This was several years ago, and he invited one of his buddies and introduced me. His buddy was a Christian DJ at a radio station, at a Christian radio station. He had the voice. And I remember when we were having lunch together, the guy, I can't remember his name now, but the Christian DJ at that Christian radio station was talking to us about a miracle that he knew of firsthand because one of his friends was involved, and he said the friend was on life support. This DJ's friend was on life support. The family had gathered. He had no more brain waves. No more brain waves. He had been declared dead for all intents and purposes. And so before they pulled the plug, they gathered all the family and they were there crying. They were there, bidding their goodbyes. And then the doctor came in, and once they were ready for it, he pulled the plug. You know what happened when he pulled the plug? That kid came up out of bed. God raised that kid from the dead. When he pulled the plug, would you call that a miracle? Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 19, please. Acts 19. We're going to read one verse of scripture, verse 11, and then 12. Now God worked what kind of miracles by the hands of Paul? extraordinary. Aren't miracles by definition extraordinary? I mean, I would never consider a miracle ordinary, would you? But he says extraordinary miracles. Extraordinary miracles. And then he breaks it down in the next verse what these extraordinary miracles were. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body, from Paul's body, to the sick. And the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of people. So Paul said, listen, I don't even have to touch these sick people. Bring handkerchiefs, bring aprons, let those handkerchiefs and those aprons touch my body, then send those back and have them touch the sick people. And as soon as those aprons and handkerchiefs touched the sick people, they were healed. And if they were demon-possessed, they were free from that demonic influence. Is that extraordinary? You know, several years ago, back in the mid-90s, you guys might remember the Brownsville Revival. In Texas, Brownsville, Texas, and there was a Rodney Howard Brown, and there was some other revivalists down there, and they were having these revival meetings, and people were getting healed. And I remember one of the testimonies was a guy who had a glass eye. It's not a natural eye, a glass eye. God gave him vision through a glass eye. Is that an extraordinary miracle? Wow, I'd say so. That's not your run-of-the-mill, ordinary miracle. Now, but we have to allow ourselves that possibility, church family. And so I want to close with this. Do we believe the words of Jesus that all things are possible with God? Do we believe that? Do we take that to heart? Do we take to heart the words of Jesus where he says all things are possible to him who believes? Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word, Lord. It is fun talking about miracles, Lord. What a blessing, what an honor to worship you with, Father, and to bring you glory for all the mighty deeds that you do and you've done and you'll continue to do on behalf of your people through the ages, Lord. Ephesians 2 says that we, in the ages to come, you will show us the riches of your grace, Lord. And so we anticipate that, and we thank you for that. Father, send us forth with your blessing to our homes. In Jesus' name, amen.